This is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio. Hello and a warm welcome to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, your host on UK Health Radio, the world's biggest talk health radio station. And you know, I think we're clocking up now 1.6 million listeners and rising every day. So you are keeping very good company. And a real welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining me and my special guest today, as usual. Now, as you know, I do interview the most incredible heart-led entrepreneurs on my show. And there is probably none more special and heart-led than my guest today. In fact, when I was looking at her CV earlier, I was having to cherry pick the things that I would say about her because she has accomplished so much in a career in which she has not only excelled in her field, but she's always pushing the boundaries. She's always exploring and wanting more. To give you a brief overview, she's an international best-selling author. She's actually got her own show on UK Health Radio. And just to keep herself busy in the few hours a day when she's not sleeping, she's launched her own publishing house and she's got a new book on manifesting that's imminent. She is the globally recognized expert on feng shui. Welcome to today's show, Janine Lowe.
Yeah, hi Dee. Loving the thought that I'm here having a chat with you on UK Health Radio, one of our favourite stations.
Isn't it just? And I mean, I omitted to mention that we're really good friends, that we do meet for coffee. And so it's nice that it feels kind of weird and lovely at the same time interviewing you. And I'm going to have to watch times for the breaks and stuff so I can get carried away. But I just really wanted to start by looking back at your incredible career in feng shui, because you are a globally recognized person of influence, but we don't start out by being global and recognized and decorated, in your case, appearing in Hello magazine as but one example. What really was the starting point to your career in feng shui?
Well, it goes back many, many years. I am an intuitive, and when I was younger, people didn't really like intuition. Let's go back many, many years. And my mum specifically didn't like it. And one time I saw a car accident before it happened, and I told my mum and everyone about it. And I was actually in the accident. And the vision that I saw was the car on flames with my soon-to-be husband involved in it. Anyway, that then, she absolutely freaked out and got a priest round to see me. So the priest came around and he told me, I said, I think you need to keep it quiet, Janine, all your things that you do. One of my girlfriends, she turned around and said, why don't you learn feng shui? I was like, what's feng shui? So I did and found an absolute passion for feng shui and buildings and energy and everything in between. So that's when my feng shui journey started, which was over 25 years ago, where I started learning with Richard Ashworth, who was my spiritual teacher, then on to learn with the metaphysics, Jerry Yap. I used to go to his classes when he came over in England. And so from there, I then learned with Jerry Yap Chinese astrology, and I put them both together. So when you have a feng shui consultation with me, you not only connect with the house, you connect with yourself and the people in it. So my idea with feng shui is to make sure that it's not only healthy, the house, your relationship with the house, that the house gives you what you want. And, you know, because if you've ever gone to a house and literally you walk in and you're like, oh no, I really shouldn't be in here, right? That's not a happy house, okay? Yeah. So it could be the house or it could be the fault of the people living in it. So my job as a feng shui consultant, not only is if people want wealth or better relationships, is to make sure that the place you're living in works with you.
So you know, it's interesting because before I met you, my understanding of feng shui was obviously it was so basic. Then I read your book and it kind of exploded my mind. Then I got really chatting with you. But I'd always looked upon it as about having water, having a money plant, keeping the loose seat down, which shows you that you could write on a postage stamp what I understood about feng shui. And do you think it's a misinterpreted medium?
I think there was a certain brand of beer that brought it out, and it was a chair, a fridge and a beer and a man sitting there. And I think that, yeah, I think it was quite basic. And then some of the big leaders like Joe Yap came on and they showed how the house could change you. And people, you know, even like how people build houses, for instance, just for a joke, if you have, not a joke, it's quite serious. When I teach, if you have a house with three windows on the upstairs, right, there's every chance one of the people in the house will have an affair. So houses tell you various things. I went to a house where the previous people had been bankrupt. The previous people before that had been bankrupt. So sometimes people bring me in when they're going to buy a house to make sure that the house they're going into doesn't have that sort of energy. So a house will take on the energy of the people before. I'm trying not to be too woo-woo here, but literally feng shui nowadays, I think people understand it so much better. When I wrote my book, Manifest Your Way to Feng Shui, Your Way to Abundance, I wrote it in 2020 when I could not go out and feng shui because we couldn't get out. And I wrote it in my, I'm a bit of a conversational writer, you know, I never stop talking. And basically I wrote it that way so that people could understand themselves and the house. So I made it very, very simple. So it's very simple with just 9 areas. And depending where those areas are in your life, you can actually change your life in so many ways. So I think feng shui is here now. And I think people understand it so much better.
Well, that is interesting. And if you were just to say now, I'm putting you on the spot, can you share 3 relatively easy to implement things that we can do in our home that you can say that's a really good step that you're taking towards feng shuiing your home or bringing better energy into your home?
Okay, so your front door is probably one of the most important parts of your house because that's the energy you walk through the door with. So always make sure your doors are clean, not cobwebby, because that's the energy you're bringing in. And I know they talk about having bay trees either side of the door to come in, but that's just to bring in fresh energy. So I mean, I have lavender either side in a pot that gives an entrance to your house. So the entrance, you must not be cluttered as you go through the door, because right, then as soon as you're coming in the door, you're starting to fight things. So your front door entrance is goodness me, your front door is very important. The next tip that I give is the idea is that water is choy, money. So in my house and all the people that I've worked with, instead of having a plug, you have a stone. And the idea is that the money, when you're using water, wash your hands, etc., the water goes so slowly. It's actually quite a nice thing as well to have all different stones, go to the beach, get some stone, yeah. You know, and that. And another one is the most important part of your house is your kitchen. This is where the money is, right? So in your kitchen, wherever your cooker hob or whatever you want to do it, if you have mirrors behind your hob, remembering your hob's got to be nice and clean, that doubles your wealth. That's one of the things. The main room of the house is the kitchen. It looks after, it feeds you, your health, your wealth and everything. So the kitchen, I could go into so many tips in the kitchen, but keep your cooker, top of your cooker, clean.
You know, I was listening to that and I remember when you came to the house, I think we were going up to the London Bug Fair, and I suddenly thought, I need to clean my front door. And I'm just thinking now, we've got loads of my nice trainers, but I've got trainers cluttered on trainers, and I've got a money plant that needs spraying because the leaves are looking dusty. And I'm just thinking, that's not great energy. So I'm going to focus on that. But the one thing I remember you saying was about the hob, and I'm always cleaning my hob and I'm always polishing the granite splashback behind it so I can actually see my face in it. But I just think it's absolutely amazing how you bring what I like about you is that you're very accessible. You don't talk woo-woo, you don't talk a language that people cannot understand, and that to me is the mark of somebody that really knows their subject, but they don't just know it. They're actually committed to it. They've gone that on that road less traveled. They've studied. They've really thrown themselves into it. And I think the fact that you have taken that childhood intuition and got this incredible career just shows how right, how aligned you are to your purpose in life. And we've just got a minute to the first break. And so I'd just like to take you back to Feng Shui, Your Way to Abundance, and we'll talk about it after the break as well. That became a bestseller. And I think even recently, it was number one. It got back into the bestsellers, which is fantastic. And I just want to know, you spoke briefly about your inspiration for writing this book, and what I loved about it, you've got a very light touch in that I read your books and I understand it. I'm not thinking, what on earth does this mean? But I also like the fact you've got a touch of humour to your style of writing. So before we go to the break, just what inspired you to write that book?
Well, what inspired me was so many people ask me, like, how does it work and everything. So, like you say, I'm very conversational. So what I did when I wrote Feng Shui, Your Way to Abundance, is that I wrote it as if I was going through someone's house, as if I was the person. So I've written it in the second person. Do you know what I mean? So yes. Anything I know that anyone would want to know, that's what I've done. So the book is a stage book. I mean, I wrote about crystals, not knowing about crystals, but I now know loads about crystals because I wanted everything in the book so that anyone could just pick it up and go, and you can go from chapter to chapter. You don't have to read it all the way through. I've written it that even down to gardens, you know, how you feng shui your garden.
Yes, it's brilliant. Don't go away. We're going to the first break. Then after the break, I'm going to be talking to Janine about manifesting and about her current book that's on the cusp of publication.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, and the fabulous Janine Lowe, who's in the studio today. So Janine, I don't care what order you say it in, but tell me about the other books you've written and talk to me about manifesting, because I do know that is a hot topic and you are the queen of understanding every single facet of that subject.
So that's interesting. So you in the last part, you said about feng shui, you know, I live feng shui. Yeah, I live it. Anyone comes to my house, the house is set up as feng shui. Manifesting, I was wondering whether I should write it or not. And then what I thought, no, I can really see it as I do it. So I have written my techniques of how I manifest. So Manifest Your Way to Abundance is out on the 20th of May. And a lot of people don't understand about manifesting. They think, oh, if I think positively, then this will happen. And then they get disillusioned because that's not how it works. You literally have to align your life, your thoughts, your actions, your environment towards manifesting what you want. Okay. Do you ever sometimes get a feeling? So my car went in for a service and it was 5 years old. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. But as I was driving out, they gave me a car and they said, oh, you know, this is a new autograph. You know, it's only got 5,000 on the clock. Do you want to try it? I knew they were trying to sell it to me, but I didn't go down there. I got in the car. I rang my son and I was like, I have just literally fallen in love with the car. But it was the feeling of falling in love with the car. Yeah. And he went, oh, you'll guess it. You'll get one. And I went home, picked my car up later, which I loved. I rang them up and they were like, oh, you know, I won't tell you the figures. I said, but I can get a new one for just $2,000 more. But I really like this car. Anyway, got talking to the salesman. Well, if something comes up, it did. And not only did it come up, I had 2 days to buy it. He said, put a deposit on it because it's dropped $10,000 because the garage needs the money because it's the beginning of the new year. So the feeling, this is what I'm trying to say, the feeling when I got in that car was like, I want this. It wasn't like, oh, I really want it. It's really, you know, ego thing. I just felt that energy that that car should be mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what manifesting is. It's about the feeling of what you want. You know, when you write a book, Dee, you know, you put so much energy, all your energy into it. Yeah. And then you want it to come out straight away, but you've got to go through the formatting, the copy, the editing and everything. And then when it does come out, you're like, oh, okay. And then suddenly the book lands in your hands, the very first copy. And you're like,
yeah,
this is why I did it. So it's all about, I always think manifesting is aligned with what you truly want in life, how the feeling is that you want it and that you truly want it. So, you know, in the book Manifest Your Way to Abundance, I show you how to make a feng shui board, which is all about manifesting. And I give you tips on how to do it. It's, you know, we all can do it. This is the thing. Every single person can manifest things. You just have to feel it and align with it. And I know it's really hard saying align with it, but it's not just believing it's going to happen, just knowing it's going to happen. And I know there's disbelievers in it. So I've done a chapter on that. Why not believe in it? But I hope that my experiences that I show in each chapter will show that that it's important that it can happen. And the other thing, without just talking and talking and talking, I practice gratitude massively.
Yes.
And I am very involved with kindness. And I think the universe, when you put out positive, I don't put it out because I want the world to give me something. I just think that's part of my nature. And I think if you have this positive thing of giving to others, because the universe listens. It just listens. It's around you all the time. And I mean, let's be honest. If you think of your mobile phone, yeah. So you're over there and I'm here, right? And it just connects. Now we just think that's what's normal, yeah. So why can't the universe that's around us hear our vibe and go, oh, Janine wanted this car? Or do you know what I mean? So it's like having a conversation with energy around you. So that's part of manifesting. I hope I haven't made it too complicated.
No, I don't think it is. And it's interesting because before I met you, I've always been a person who's very visual. So I do a lot of positive visualization. I think my nature is I see the world in pictures in my mind and also words, because at my heart I'm a writer. And I've always manifested. I just never knew it was manifesting. So I have positive visualization. So I'm very results driven, provided the results align with my core, my beliefs. And so I will set an intention, which might be, I want to get my book to number one in the bestsellers. And I visualize standing on a stage talking about it. I visualize it being number one in the Amazon ranks. But then what I also do is I become a foot soldier. So when I'm a foot soldier, I'll write down my goals, and then it's almost like I'm then aligned with what I am manifesting. Because although I'm like you, I'm a great believer in the power of energy, and I'm a huge believer in the power of just being kind. And I believe it comes back in many unexpected ways. And like you, I don't do something to be kind to expect a return gift. It's a state of being. But for me, it was fascinating because I thought, yeah, I get that. And the bit about gratitude, it's funny. I was asked this yesterday. I did a show yesterday with a coach. And he was asking me what was the one quality I was really pleased about. And I said, gratitude. I am so gratitude to be on this planet, to be, as Greg Wallace said, a woman of a certain age, and still to be embracing all the goodness that life has to offer. Now, I just want to share a message with our listeners that by the time this show comes out, your book will be available to buy, because I think this show should be coming out in June. So you'll have had a couple of weeks then, and I think hopefully people can catch up with you on social channels, but they'll definitely be able to get your book on Amazon. So I want to just pivot now to a different subject altogether, but obviously one that brings forth all your amazing talents, that you are also a host on UK Health Radio. You've got your own show. And in fact, it was you that I turned to when Johan, who's the founder of UK Health Radio, offered me a show, and I was like, well, I'm not sure I can do it. And I remember you saying to me, oh, you know you're going to love it. You know what you're like. You'll start out being a bit nervous, and after a few weeks, you'll be like, what was I nervous about? And I was thinking that today, like the Wheelers Come Full Circle interviewing you, because it is enjoyable. We've got a couple of minutes to the break, and I just want to you share with our lovely listeners what led to you becoming a presenter on UK Health Radio. And I'm sure there are people listening to this show that will be thinking, I need to check in with Janine. So what's your show all about? We've got a minute, then we'll carry on after the break.
Right. So my show is called Feng Shui Your Way. It's not all about Feng Shui. I interview authors. I'm on episode 54. Can you believe 54?
Amazing.
I was a DJ when I was 17, 18. I have a interesting life. And Johan and I got on a call, and he said, yeah, well, let's put this show together. I was so nervous, to be honest. But I have I think it's the most amazing thing being on UK Health Radio, not only for us putting it out, but I've listened to all the other episodes from all the different radio presenters. And the UK Health Radio literally goes across the board, and you just never know. And we have the opportunity to interview the most amazing people. We went to the book fair on behalf of UK Health Radio, and I partnered up with Hay House Radio. And I've interviewed two or three people off of it. So really, I work with mind, body and spirit, which is one of the most, which is at my heart. You know, I love anything spiritual. So for me, it was like a present. Even though before I went on, I was like, what am I doing? And I was saying, should I do it? And then I went, yes, I'll do it. So after the first three, I settled in.
You know, I'm all for that. I'm very much a leap and the safety net will appear. But if you don't leap, you just don't know. So we're just going to go to a second break. And after the break, I'm going to be talking to Janine about her style when she's interviewing guests. And I am so keen that she's going to share about her brand new bold and audacious venture, Alley Cat, and the story behind the logo.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, and the lovely, fabulous, best-selling author, broadcaster, and imminent publisher, Janine Lowe. So let's just talk a bit, Janine. I've been on your show twice, which was wonderful. We all have different styles as presenters. Mine is I don't like interrupting, so if I do, it's a mistake. And I really want the guest to shine. And I'd love to know, just for you to share, what is your style when you're interviewing a guest on your show and what kind of guest do you get on?
So, interesting. So, people have contacted me in fairness, a lot of people have just turned up out of the blue from LinkedIn, from authors, from people introducing me to them. So my style is I probably talk to them for about 10 minutes beforehand, so they're quite relaxed, and then I think, oh, they're now starting to tell me things I need on the show. So then I go, hold on, we'll leave that for now, I'm going into the show. I introduce everyone, and I judge how the person that I'm interviewing, if they're relaxed enough, if they're not, if they go off track, I'll bring them back in. But my idea is to get the best out of them. I do about 2-3 hours research on them before I actually interview them. And I know that's quite a long time, but I like to know who I'm interviewing. So it ends up just being a conversation, you know. And for me, I have met, you know, from someone who talks in fingerprints, how your fingerprints say things, or lovely Zoe Fox, who comes out on the show next Monday, which is before this show, so you'll have to go back to it. She saw her partner die in front of her. She had a bad accident, and how she turned her life around. So people that help themselves and share their things so that they can help other people. So I've been super interested in everybody that I have interviewed, and it has opened so many doors. And this is why I have to thank UK Health Radio as well, because doors that I would never have thought would open, you know.
Yes.
And meet people that I would never, and have turned into literal friends, even though they're the other side of the world or in Australia. So for me, that's my style.
Yeah, I think it's lovely. And I know you're with me on this one, but I think it's our role as presenters to unlock the story in a guest that they may not have always said before. They might have just told parts of it, but we get them, they have this amazing platform to share all the great things in their life. And I think as well, what I have found, that I tend to find my guests, like you, if people approach me, I don't know why, I'm less likely to interview them than if I find someone and get to know them just like you. And it's incredible how popular the show is. And I think for me, one of the things I found really hard was the timekeeping, because I'm a bit OCD. And like I said to you before the show, I have to start bang on the hour. I can't be a minute over or a minute under. And I write all my times down. And the other day, I put an extra ad break in. I got so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got so caught. I was interviewing a soldier, a former British Army veteran that got PTSD, and he turned his life around. And I was so enthralled in his story, I actually forgot that I'd already gone to the second break. And so we re-recorded it, and it was even better. And it is, you're right, it's a really life-affirming role, isn't it, being a radio presenter, because we're given this privileged position to talk to relatable and inspiring guests in a way that I would never have imagined.
I get awesome feedback from my listeners, so they literally come back to me and go, I really like that person. Oh, you know, I never actually thought I would listen to someone like that, but actually I learned so much. So for me, that's quite good feedback. I'm not as stated for timing as you. In fact, I wish I was. They might talk for 15 minutes. I thought, oh no, I better put a break in. And then they might only talk for 8 minutes and I put a break in. But it's because sometimes, you know, when you're interviewing people, you become the listener, not the interviewer. And either I have to really bring myself back in the room, remembering that I'm interviewing.
Yeah, same here. I'm exactly the same. It's happening at the minute now. I'm looking at the time. It's the same with you, but it was the same with Danny. And I interviewed quite a really interesting coach the other day. And you're right that if they're genuinely interesting people, we as presenters have to keep our blinking eye on the time. But I want to now pivot you away from the radio and sound and into pictures and words. And that is Alicat, because you were telling me about this on our journey up to London, but you are now launching a publishing house, which is fabulous. And I would love you to share more about it, the name of it, the inspiration for it, and the sorts of books that you're going to be looking for.
So Alicat House came about because, this is going to sound really bad, I felt I wanted to be, because as an author with publishing company, you know, my books have been published under a publishing company, I wanted to look after the authors. I wanted to be an author's author. That's how I saw Black Alicat House. And my books are going to be like pocket size, you know, that you can put them in your handbag. So they're about 25, 30K words. Mind, body and spirit, self-help groups. I'm looking for a certain, I've got to want it. It's a bit of a personal journey for me. So I want to hold, so I put my first book through, which comes out May 20th, which is Manifest Your Way to Abundance, so that I got over all the cracks and made sure that I was doing it. I have an amazing consultant who keeps me instead. So Alicat House is going to be, I'm going to say it's a boutique-y. I'm so excited about it. I've got a real passion for it. And I want what I never had is to be hands held through the process. So I'm very interested in first-time writers who've got a book in them or got a book they've been dusting off and want to do it but don't, so that I can hold them through the process. We're going to do, because I've done it, we've got a marketing department that will actually do the marketing for them, set them up. They'll be shown how to do an interview, which I was never done. I just ended up suddenly on TV in America and that sort of thing. So I want them to feel cared for. And I think my thoughts are a lot of the big houses, and I'm not going to say any, what they do is they put as many as through as they can a month, hoping one of them will be successful, you know, to make their money back. That isn't what I am. What I am is I'm looking for the special books that will make differences to people. Maybe it's too glorified or maybe it's too idealistic, but that's where I am hoping to start with, and that's what my intention is.
Let me go a bit further into this. There's loads of things you said there that I'm thinking this is really what I wanted you to share is something that you're doing that is really unusual, because I've had the benefit of paid publishing deals where I've been paid decent money to write my books. I've had the benefit of publishing deals where I haven't been paid, but I've been published free of charge. Now, I know with my first big publishing deal, Wiley, who came to me, actually said, we wouldn't have given you a publishing deal if you hadn't already written a book and you actually had proven yourself. So we knew you were a safe bet. Now, what I'm hearing there is you actually mentioned first-time authors, which can be a big risk for a publisher, and this, I guess I'm thinking, what's made you do that? I think it's wonderful, by the way, but what has made you think, I'm going to go for first-time authors? And are you able to de-risk the process so that you make sure you get great first-time authors?
Yes, I have a plan. They need to have a certain amount of following, yeah? But the other thing is, I want hard workers, because it's a hard work when you launch the book. The easy part of it is writing the book. The rest is the hardest bit. So what I'm looking for in an author is someone that can dedicate themselves to the book, that believes in the book, that lives the book, and they can talk me into believing in them. And when you say first-time authors, I have people who have come and have put out books before, and I'm not saying no, because there is someone around at the moment who has got books out and I think they're amazing, and I actually interviewed them on UK Health Radio, but I'm looking, and if they can make me what I want, which I can't say, then, you know, a pocketbook, 30K words, and bring their world down into a smaller world that they can share. I'm looking for the simplistic way, like the way I write in a way that is conversational. So if you were talking about shamanism, say, I want to know more about shamanism, but I want the book that tells me what it's all about from the beginning. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I wouldn't look at someone who's written loads of books on shaman and they didn't want to do it, but they've got a really good book. I'm very passionate about what I want. I'm in a position that I can be passionate about it and have.
Yes.
So it's not a hobby, but it's something I, I'll do 1 year it and see if I get who I want. I think everybody has a book in them. I genuinely do. I think people say, oh, I really want to write about them. But I think people have life-changing things that happen in their life that they should share so that they can help others. And that's the sort of thing I'm looking for as well.
I love that. And I also liked what you said about being the author's author, because you are coming at this from a perspective, a bit like me, that you've got masses of experience and expertise. First is being a subject matter expert in your field of excellence, feng shui, manifesting. But also you've gone through the publishing process and you know the pitfalls, you know the areas where authors can be let down. And I always think when I'm looking at businesses that they launch something on the back of their significant experience, it tends to be a lot more successful because they're already, they don't have to horizon scan. They know what the publishing process is like. They know what the support that authors need. And I think what I found really, really gratifying about what you said there was that you're really looking for your authors, whether they're first time or not, to bring absolute commitment. So you're actually saying you're looking for author partners. Even though you're the publisher, you want them to bring a whole lot of themselves into that process. And if their book is good, you're going to back them all the way. That's the kind of message I was getting there.
Yeah, that's interesting. You put it in such classic words. Thank you. That's exactly what it is. I want partners. I want this process to be, my process wasn't great, but then I didn't know much about it. And then the next book came out and again, I felt let down. I want them to have contact with me. I want them to feel supported. And partners is a really good way. Maybe I'll write that somewhere.
Send it over to me. I think something we didn't clarify, just in case there are listeners listening today thinking, gosh, I'd like to find out more. There's a book in me. What's the genre of book? Is it fiction, non-fiction? Is it spiritual? I don't think we covered that and we need to.
Yeah. So it's all non-fiction, mind, body and spirit, spiritual self-help books with a story to it, not a self-help book that tells you how to make a cup of tea. You know, I want it so it's I want my readers, my authors and their readers to give something back, you know, so that people who read their books, like they're getting that feeling that I did when I explained when I got in that Range Rover, you know, I want this. Yeah. That's what I want, you know. And I'm also very aware my book, Manifest Your Way to Abundance, has been done in ebook. And I've just done Audible, which was so scary listening to yourself back. But, so my authors, they would be ebooks, Audibles. You know, I want to not just be a book. I want it to be an explosion around them so they get the chance to be in all sorts of areas, you know.
I do. And I think something that you mentioned, you sort of briefly touched on that, is that you really want the author's voice and their DNA, their why and their story to weave through that, the words, because that's the underpinning narrative that makes a book in what is a crowded genre so compelling. And that's where I think you're going to be really meeting that mark, because you've got authors that have bought into you, they're grateful to you, you're partnering with them, and you're saying, I want you to share your story, I want you to share you and your why, blended in with all your profound insights and beliefs and experience, because there are lots of books on the how, but I often think the most interesting books, and I was actually talking about it last night to a masterclass of of authors that I work with every month. And it's what's your why, what's your story? Because people connect in the first instance to your story, don't they? Made them, like when we started this whole interview talking about what led you to be this globally recognized woman from Feng Shui, and it was being a young girl and having this intuition that was so frightening because it was so standout that you were told to quash it. And that's what I think makes your whole ethos. And the other thing I wanted to touch upon with you before we talk about your vision for this, for Ali Kapp, is that when you and I went to the book show with our little press passes and we were wandering around, and I think we were both of the opinion that, I think I'd come to this realization a few weeks prior that small, short books are the way forward. And you've said like 20 to 30,000 words. For me, short books are, we're in a crowded arena now where we've got video, we've got social posts that are blasting everything out. There are so many different channels to access information. And I really love the fact that you are focusing on this short book. And I just wondered what your reasoning was for that.
Well, that's an interesting question. And the first word that came up was attention to detail. I like to know everything straight away. I'm visionary like you, yeah? I don't need to hear the rest of the story. I want to get to the meat straight away, yeah? That's me. So I want books that people pick up and they know they're not going to get the fluff. They're going to get the whole story in 20,000 to 30,000 words.
Yeah,
and yeah. I think, you know, I've nothing against 50, 80, but the genre I'm going for is what I would like to read, you know? We are in the age of the small, you know, time span. Yeah. But I just think that in that short, or 30,000 words or whatever, you can say so much and get so much over. You know, my Audible, I did the Audible, was only an hour and a half, whereas other Audibles can be 4 or 5 hours. But in that hour and a half of 14 chapters, they could go back in and get what they want straight away.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I think you're back to Winnie there. And I call it the three F's when you're writing: no fluff, no flannel, no filler. And that's what you're basically saying, isn't it? It's like, yeah, tell me your story, tell me your why, but we don't need to spend 3,000 hours navel gazing to get to the crux of why you're here. And before we move on to your quote and your question for me, I'd love to know, what's your manifestation around Ali Kapp?
Right, so the website isn't completely finished, right? But because of the way I am, so the Ali Kapp logo is amazing. Thank you, Philippa French. And my VA, I said, I want a black cat walking across the screen and looking at you, right? So we went video shopping. We found this black cat and she was like, it's one of the first ones, Janine. I goes, yeah, no, I want it. So on a large screen, it walks right across the thing, looks at you, yeah? And on the mobiles, it just turns around and stares at you, right? So I want the vision of it to be fun, successful, passionate, what people want to work with me, what I want to work with them. So the idea of the black cat, obviously, because, you know, I rescue cats anyway, the idea of the black cat is, it is a black cat, and black cats are lucky.
Yes. Isn't there a little nick in the ear, or have I imagined
yes,
that?
Yes, yes.
And that was a nod to your cat, isn't it? Well, one of your...
So I take in rescue cats, street cats, and there's one particular one I took in, and Philippa knows me well, and I wasn't going to keep it. I sort them all out, and then they go to homes, but this one lived in an alley. And when it got given a home, its first home, which was me, it was so happy. It literally didn't leave the house for 2 months. And every night, I wasn't keeping him. I took him to the vets to have him sorted out. And they said, come back at 2, at 10 o'clock, they ring me, can you go and get him? Can you get him? He's a wild thing, but not where I'm concerned. He's not with other people now. He's amazing. So, yeah, the thing came from Ali Kapp. Yeah.
That's astonishing. And what is the motivational quote that you would like to share with us today?
So I've had to write it down because I'm scared I'd get it wrong. So I was a single mum at 30. I had a big business. I had 9 fast food restaurants, and I split up with my husband, didn't know what was going to happen. And I came across this quote, which is, winners never quit and quitters never win. And it's such a powerful thing for me. And it carries on persistence, never giving up. We all make mistakes. Things go wrong. Yeah. But don't ever quit. And that's been my whole thing, you know. So I started again with a single child, with nothing, and rebuilt my world. And we all have to reinvent ourselves every now and then. So that's my favourite saying.
I think that's absolutely lovely. And what an inspiration you are to, well, women particularly everywhere that may be going through a bit of a tough time, that you can. I often think that with my journey in recovery, we hit rock bottom, but that ability to sort of peer above the possibility and aim for it is just astonishing. So yeah. It's been wonderful having you on today. And now you've got a question for me, and I don't know what it is. I get really quite nervous about this bit of the show. That's because Johan said to me, Dee, you've got to bring yourself into the show. And I'm like, okay. And he suggested that I get asked a question. So what's yours?
I might use this as your thing. So my question for the host, Dee Blick, what has been the most transformational moment in your journey that changed the direction of your life or career?
Wow, there is only one answer to that. And the most transformational moment was stopping drinking. It was addiction to alcohol. And I've shared on the show before, I remember the day when I made the decision, something clicked in my head. I was at a crossroads and I vividly remember the occasion, being in the lounge and almost being able to see two roads ahead of me. One was the road to ruin that I was heading down rapidly, like, you know, a cannonball being fired out. It was going to land at its destination. The other one was, you've got to stop and seek a better life. And without a shadow of a doubt that I would not be here today, I'd be dead if I carried on drinking. I would have either have killed myself or I would have just drunk myself to death or have died in an accident. There were the three things. One of those three things would have happened. And I think that getting sober opened the door. In AA, they call it a life beyond your wildest dreams. And the wildest thing is that you get sober, that you save your life. And then once you're free of the shackles of being an active addict, the land of opportunity opens to you. And it doesn't mean that problems go away. It just means that the abundance of what life has to offer is suddenly there with its arms outstretched saying, come on in. You've been denied it before. Yeah. Get on in there, girl, and have a good old sniff around and see what's what. And so, yeah, what do you think to that as an answer? Is that okay?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, I think life-changing things and that, if anyone thinks that was an easy journey, I have been around someone who didn't manage to do it and did die from alcohol. And to have that journey and say, no, it's enough. You are very strong and very brave. That's what I can say. So, yes, you did answer my question. Thank you.
Well, that just leaves me to thank you for being such a fabulous guest on Lead Well, Live Well. I've really enjoyed it. And gosh, I'm going to be there on the sidelines cheering you with Ali Kapp and your latest book, and I'll be at your book launch. And, you know, you've got a number one fan in me. So I just want to thank you, Janine Lowe, for joining me today.
Thank you, Dee.
So now I just want to flick the switch and just talk about you and ask you to reflect on the impact that Janine has had on you today. And the one thing that's really stood out for me listening to Janine is that we are capable of so much if we manifest, if we visualize, if we put our minds to it. And Janine's a great example of that. And the other thing that I hope you've taken away today is that you can do lots of amazing things, because fundamentally you're a talented and creative person. You don't have to put unnecessary restrictions on yourself when it comes to exploring your talent and your creativity. And so that just leads me to really finish today's show by saying to you, get in that circle of power, embrace the universe with your arms wide open, and always remind yourself just how brilliant you are. And that's me, Dee Blick, on Lead Well, Live Well, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.